Always Record, episode 13 with Will Morgan. I gotta tell you guys, like, I just logged on to Mozilla. I think it's Mozilla. I think it's my home page, and it's the Olympic torch, right? They have, like, the fox, which is already, like, it's a Firefox, right? But then they got the Olympic flame above it. Have you guys seen this?
No.
No, I haven't seen it.
It looks like motherfucking Home Dude's hair. Holmes. James E. Holmes.
Oh, I see what you're saying there.
What are we looking at? Mozilla.com?
Yeah, the Mozilla Firefox start page. But with the Firefox is... It's just weird, man. This whole thing with Colorado and everything. Everything has to do with fire right now. That Mr. Coleman, Lauren Coleman, he said that, all of it, the shooter's hair was red. Not green like the normal Jokers, but his hair is red, and the name of the state is Colorado, which is color red. See that?
Yeah, I read Coleman's piece connecting all that together.
That's pretty deep. That's cool.
Yeah, it seems to be, it's odd now because, everyone's got Google, and the community is tied into each other now that... it's not as if someone comes up with something like that on their own. It pops up in a bunch of different places,
Right.
But it seems like everybody is staring right into the puzzle pieces right now. And
yeah.
There's got to be some type of energetic thing that is... It's like this event attracted all this shit, It's definitely heavyweight.
I saw Jake put up on Sinkhole, this short video showing how, his take is that the tragic events gets everyone to draw their attention to the same thing at the same time, so that everyone's looking at the same puzzle, and then we can start to put pieces together.
Right. Singularity.
It's just a shame that it always happens with these really fucked up events. I want, like, something really beautiful that everyone just looks at and goes, wow.
Well, let's talk about that. What would that take? What would that take? I was thinking about the same thing. Like, what would an event where everybody would want to pay attention, what would that look like?
It's a shout in the street, man. It's the Joycean thing, is that the beauty, we're drowning in it. We're in the beauty all the time, right? Right. That's the thing, is that when high school kids first smoke grass or turn on to something like psychedelics, they just, what? Fuck, they remember where they are, and they see it all around them. But the trick is to try to do that on the natch, you know what I mean? Is to always remember. And I think events like this snap us out of it and force us to take stock of our how we feel the immediacy of every present moment. I think they used to call it counting your blessings, but that's not necessarily the most PC language anymore.
There's a great George Harrison tune called Isn't It a Pity, and he says, isn't it a pity, it's something along the lines of, people can't see the beauty that surrounds them, they're only getting caught up in darkness, and here we are actually getting caught up in the dark night. Very, very much getting, that's the other thing. It's like are we getting
Dark Night of the Soul? It's the Dark
Night of the Soul. Yeah, no doubt. It's like that's just it. Is it a trap that this is drawing our attention into darkness, or is it a beautiful thing to draw our attention into that we're all focusing on the same thing and seeing how it interconnects? Like,
see, now this...
I'm still rooting for that aspect of it, but.
See, I was fucking with that earlier, man. I was redefining myself to the situation, right? So it's like, okay, what is this dude trying to do? If he runs in here and he kills all these people, and then somebody came up with the whole Monarch Theater in Batman 1989, you have Batman's parents being killed. Are you guys with me?
Yeah, very much.
Wait a second. The Monarch Theater is the theater that is represented in the Burton film, right?
Yes.
Okay. This was not the name of the theater in Colorado.
No, the name of the theater in Colorado, I believe, is the Century.
Century 16.
But you have all of this immediate, somebody's going to say Monarch programming. Bam. Like, triggers in movies, make assassins, like, you know, there's a whole list of these... You know, come on. All I have to do is say the word San Remo. Come on. You know what I'm saying? These.
Yeah, I think you're referring to Mark Leclerc's post where he said that he shows the skiing Monarch poster in The Shining and then the Monarch Theater from the Tim Burton Batman. So yeah,
right.
That's the theater outside. Basically, that's
right.
Where Batman's parents get shot, is outside the Monarch Theater.
Because the movies are automatically, because of the symbolism, are supposed to be subliminal, right? So you have to – do you get what I'm saying? You have to make the connection there, I think.
Well, see, for me, I automatically – I center in on the whole monarch butterfly effect, and that what I always think with a gentleman like James Holmes is if – a butterfly flaps its wings in Brazil and it causes, you know, a plane to crash in America. Well, if I flap my fucking wings in a movie theater, if I do this action and cause this jolt to happen, well, what will I will affect all of human history on a much bigger level? That I just have, instead of throwing a pebble into the pond with those ripples, I'm, you know, dropping a missile. And so in his insanity, who knows what narrative is in his head, or maybe he thinks...
See, this is... I want to point out the narrative. Now think about the narrative. If he wants to be a Joker and start killing people at a theater, at the Monarch Theater, last century, but if he wants to... If he wants to do that, then what is he trying to do? What did Jack Napier do? What did the Joker do? He started Batman. So Holmes was trying to create a superhero. I don't necessarily think that he was... Do you get me?
This is that whole Ozymandias thing from The Watchmen, right?
Right.
I mean, it's really...
It's a little bit problem-reaction-solution, too, right?
It's if I kill 12 people or 50 people in a movie theater, but I save millions...
I want a Batman.
Well, exactly. The people don't know he will be thrown away in jail and demonized, but he thinks in his mind it all started because of my actions. I was the catalyst. I was the one who really saved the millions. And if
perhaps
human people, like if the people of the public don't recognize that, well, some higher or some inner or some other dimensional thing will see what I have done, and I'm cool with that. It doesn't matter if America hates me, because my butterfly effect will eventually save millions.
Mr. Glass.
There is, of course, a downside to that, of even if that was his intention, or whether it's a conscious or subconscious intention, what you end up with is you don't end up with... Batman the superhero, you end up, unfortunately, very often with Batman, the Christopher Nolan version of Batman is a pretty dark knight. He's not any superhero I'd want. He's a fascist prick.
Okay, all right. Now,
but see, didn't he beat his fucking mom and his wife or sister or some shit right after one of the premieres of the other one? Like, why does weird shit happen with these fucking movies, damn it? It's like, I'm trying to fight off the Illuminati sayers, and yet it keeps proving itself to be true.
Alan, I want you to bring me back to eighth grade and to be explicit. I don't know if I'm, it's just because I'm not political or that's just not where my knowledge is at, but everyone says Batman's a fascist. And I just don't get that. I don't see it. I don't understand it. Make me see the light because I don't know. I want to tune it out or something.
You got it. I'll give you a really quick one. Second Batman? I don't know, the one with the Joker. Is that the second Batman? Yeah.
Yeah.
That's second Nolan.
Right, the Dark Knight. Exactly. And in there, he creates this whole system where he basically taps into everyone's cell phones to create this echolocation that he can find the Joker, right?
And beautiful.
And, you know, of course, you have Morgan Freeman there who says, I really don't like this, and I'm gonna quit.
God.
I'm so upset that this breaks every rule of humanity that we're just gonna, you know, infringe on everyone's civil liberties just to catch Madman. But just this once, I'll do it. It's so bad, and you know they make the point: what Gotham needs right now is a Dark Knight. They think they want a White Knight, so we're gonna trick them with Harvey Dent, and we'll let them believe that there was really a White Knight. But what they really fucking need is someone to bitch slap them hard. It's like, you know, they really need a Dark Knight. And I spoke to a lot of people who said, well, don't you think it's actually a commentary on police state tactics? Don't you think it's actually done to show how bad it really is? And I'll be honest, I didn't feel that. I searched my interpretation of it, I searched the subtext of the film, and it just seems like, basically, if anything, a response to post 9/11, everyone, you know, the sort of, hey, we need to tap your phones, we need to listen to your voicemails, read your emails, do everything, and you know, it's like, this is what's necessary to fight terrorism. And then you see Batman doing the same thing, saying drastic times call for drastic measures type deal. Like, I know you don't want to do it. I don't want to do it either. I don't want to infringe on everyone's civil liberties, but we just got to tap into everyone's cell phones. Otherwise, the Joker's going to kill everyone. And you notice they also make the point that particularly, this is a new thing for the Joker, in that film, he describes his political philosophy. The Joker says, I'm an anarchist. What I want is chaos. I'm an anarchist. So he's basically saying we have to infringe on everyone's civil liberties and clamp down. Otherwise, it's going to be total anarchy. Well, what is anarchy? There's no power structure. So in order to keep the power structure, we have to infringe on everyone's civil liberties. To me, that's fascist. And
I don't think that that's infringing on what it is to be human. It might be infringing on what it is to be a citizen, but I find that citizenry is a symptom of history, and history is the nightmare for which the Dark Knight and everyone else is trying to awaken from. So I don't see that as.
I'm gonna just throw something out. I know we can't really do it at this moment while we're talking, but if you can sort of keep this in your back of your mind. If you don't remember, I'm going to mention something that's probably a bit obscure. But there was a Disney cartoon called Darkwing Duck, which was basically Batman. It was totally fucking Batman. You know, and he actually poofs, you know, he has the whole smoke gun, which is actually really funny considering what we're talking about here with this guy, James Holmes, who puts the smoke in the theater and all that. But that was one of Darkwing Duck's biggest tools was the smoke gun. But what he would do is, you know, he'd appear on this purple cape and say, you know, I'm the terror that flaps in the night. And he's all like trying to strike terror into the hearts of the criminals, which is and it's so amazing because we keep saying terror. What is terrorist? What is a terrorist? Someone who promotes terror, a state of fear. And then we see politicians who promote a state of fear of we need this just so we can prevent such and such. Now, just to give you a thing, there was an episode of Darkwing Duck that really speaks to the latent fascist potential within Batman. It's not that Batman is inherently fascist, but that the potential is there. There's an episode of Darkwing Duck which involves a time machine, and his daughter accidentally stumbles into a time machine and goes into the future. And she goes into the future, and it's this totally dystopian fascist world, but the head of the dystopia is her father. And basically what happened is his daughter, in his mind, his daughter disappeared, presumably dead. So she just traveled to the future. But, you know, in those 30 years or whatever, she was gone. He assumed she died because he wasn't tough on crime enough. So he becomes this ultra fascist where, like, somebody walking down the street, you know, breaks curfew and he, like, shoots them with a missile. And he does, like, all this crazy shit. And he turns into, like, this really dark version of Darkwing Duck. And I think that episode speaks to the latent fascist potential within the Batman.
So we're talking about this, but this motherfucker didn't want to be a vigilante.
No.
I mean, because he doesn't. He's. That's the thing. That's why does everybody want to be the criminal? What the fuck is going on with our society where everybody wants to be the goddamn criminal? Fucking Spawn comic books? Is that what it happened? This whole dark hero motherfucking.
That's
like
that's,
it wasn't cool unless it had chains. I mean,
I've heard people argue that. Yeah, I'm not trying to argue that there's the. I'm not trying to argue that people are mind controlled into being the dark hero or the dark figure. I mean, certainly there is some of that. I mean, I think we have a fascination with it. We're dancing with it. You know, you see everything from Twilight where it's saying we want to be vampires, which what are vampires? People who hurt each other and leech off of each other instead of people who love and support each other. You have, most popular book right now is 50 Shades of Grey, which is all about your wife will like you better if you beat the shit out of her.
Hey, you know, I got some shit on that. I want to get it off my chest. I got some shit on that. First off, thank you for those books because it is mommy porn and it drove my wife nuts. But this is what I want to say. That dude's name is Christian Grey. Okay? And her name is Anastasia, I believe. But that whole book is Grey, Christian Grey, Christ, Alien, and Anastasia, Redheaded Babylon. And it drives me nuts because I'm like, what the fucking the odds of 2012 having the focus of this? I mean, there's the 50 Shades of Grey. It's all it has to do with, like, sexuality and fucking aliens. Don't you see that? Do you know what I'm saying? Like,
yeah,
what
you.
The fuck is going on? I mean, symbolically, and it's blatant symbolism, too. The dude's name is Christian Grey. It's all about, there's bondage, there's all kinds of crazy shit in there. But is this what we need? Or is this like the Crowleyan way of sexualizing everything? Like, is our main problem as a civilization sexual repression? Discuss.
No. Well, so it's, I think Batman certainly, you know, Michael's chapter in the Sync book talks about that. You know, the idea that Batman is basically a sexually repressed person. So this is why, you know, it took, you know, 30 years for him to realize, hey, that relationship between Batman and Robin, that's not really, you know, is that appropriate? What exactly is going on there? You know, so it's this idea that Batman has this repressed sexuality. So that's you know, I guess a potential.
But it's cool. That guy, what's his face? I'm actually like open to Kripal, Dr. Kripal. What he said was sexuality had to do with superheroes. Bottom line, Superman totally never. He never can get the girl. Do you know what I'm saying? It deals with Lois Lane, right? And he never can get the girl. That's his only girl. You get what I'm saying? Like Batman, on the other hand, had all of this sex. You know what I'm saying? The thing is very sexual. It's very bondage orientated. And you get what I mean. But Batman has no powers. Superman has all the powers and never gets any sex. Batman has no powers and gets all the sex in the world. That's tight.
Well, I bet Superman's a little bit afraid of what he'd do to the Man of Steel, you know? I mean, that's literal, I think.
He'd blow his lobe like a shotgun out of her back.
Wasn't that Clerks? Yeah.
Yeah, yeah, Mallrats, I believe.
Mallrats. So, that's interesting that didn't this shooting happen in a mall?
Sorry.
Dum
dum dum. Oh fuck! You just fuck with me. I've been having so many mouse and fucking rat sinks. It's fucking incredible.
Batman. Batman is just a flying rodent.
He's just a flying rat.
Mall bats.
Mall bats.
So I think that's it. I think we figured it out.
So like I said, I'm
all right. So see you guys next week.
42 minutes. Bam. See, naturally, I just end it right there. No, just kidding.
You got us beat. We only did 20 minutes. We don't even need 42.
Just a quickie. I always record.
Oh, so, man, that was much deserved. Thank you, guys. That was great.
So I just had the distinct pleasure this week of going to see a bunch of, friends and sync colleagues in Idaho, and it came with it the singularly unpleasant, fascinating experience of going through airport security. And it's interesting to be having this conversation. We talk about, is it inherently, when you, Bill, you said it wasn't necessarily fascist. It's not imposing on your life, just maybe a little civil liberties here and there. But,
the rules of the game,
Right. So, now I basically had the choice. Do you want us to take naked photos of you and your wife, or do you want us to grope you? Basically the choice we were given.
Yeah.
When I went to the airport and we said, no, we opt out of the X-ray machine, they made it intentionally unpleasant. Like, above and beyond unpleasant, basically with, this nasty smirk of, huh? Yeah, you didn't want to go through the fucking machine, right? Oh, you don't want to go through the fucking machine? Okay. So, yeah, my wife just walked past going, that was so creepy.
Think about the repression of the century we came out of in the 1800s, right? And when medicine started to develop and people actually started to actually give a fuck and believe in germs and believe in regular checkups and all that, and how long it took doctors to convince husbands who had wives to say, no, it's okay if she takes off her clothes in front of me. Like, that must have been a huge, hurdle to jump over, to say, listen, you're just going to have to deal with it. This is important for the quality of your life. So I kind of put this is the brave new world that we live in. I think advances in travel with this kind of, let's put it this way. If you're ever going to have space travel in any form, right? You think a hijacking situation in regular airspace is bad. Can you imagine how bad a hijacking situation in space is? Especially if they had some sort of, space station. There's no way they're going to take any chance for any individual to fuck that up, because you can bring down a space station.
So do we end up with Total Recall instead?
You mentioned Total Recall on purpose, motherfucker, and I know we did. I know you did, because Total Recall, that's the X-ray machines and that whole predictive programming of Total Recall. That's the first time we've ever – that was like for us as kids to get used to the idea when he runs through that shit and you see, and that's coming up, and then you get this whole fucking shooting and Aurora shit going on, and the first thing any conversation starts with is X-ray machines in the fucking theaters. But see, this stuff is not new. Right. This stuff has been happening for a while. First off, Aurora, people may tell you it's all a hoax because Aurora has the strictest gun control. That's because shootings happen all the time down in Aurora. Do you get what I mean?
Yeah.
I mean, we're not Chicago. I imagine Klaus is over there smiling at me, dude. Chicago must be bad. On local news, there's shit going down all the time. But you wake up in the morning and you're like, why do they have to be – this Aurora thing is – even absorb the alternative news. Do you know what I mean? It's like every fucking where I look is talking about Aurora. The whole newspaper is about Aurora. And I'm like, guys, like, we've already been through this before, goddammit.
Well, think about it. This was something I was discussing with Jason. We went through this with Columbine, which isn't very far from there, right?
No, so, not same place.
So you have, you know, of course, you know, we can go the whole route of Colum being the dove, and so you have the you know, the bat and the dove as the sort of like yin and yang of these, you know, flying you know, figures. But with, of course, Christian Bale, so the dove being the Christ. You can go a whole route with that. But something that I was talking about is there's a my wife dances ballet, so we saw the Nutcracker a few years ago, and there's a this dance they do where they call these children the Columbines is the name of the children. And basically, they're toys. So they bring these two big boxes, like gift wrapping boxes, out on stage. They open them up, they pull out these two kids, and then they pretend to wind them up, and the kids do this like weird, like robotic dance, which it was actually kind of a cool dance. You know, no fronting, it's like they were cool. And then when they finish their dance, they kind of like wind down and they stop back into like their slumped down robot motion. And then they put them back in the box and push the box off the stage. Those are called the Columbines. And they don't say it in the thing, but that's, I know them because my wife said, you know, she told me, she's like, oh, I did that role years ago and whatever, those are the Columbines. I was like, wait a second, you say Columbines? So what immediately sparks a connection in my mind is that's a Joker technique. A gift box with like a robot inside, you know, like with a shooting. Do you understand what I'm saying? What, like any Joker?
Whoa! The whole impact of Full Metal Jacket being named Joker just fucking slammed me in the goddamn head.
This is Kubrick.
Holy shit! Are you fucking kidding me? The whole Aurora thing's got Kubrick all over it. That's impossible.
Is it?
The 2012 shooter is going to be named after Nicholson? Joker.
Nicholson by way of Matthew Modine, right?
Exactly. Private Joker. I didn't even make the – I made the connection
Modine
of Nicholson.
Is in the Dark
Private
Knight
Joker.
Rises.
But I did not make – it's Private fucking Joker.
Did you not
see – oh, my God.
Will, did you not see I had put up an image which just put together
That's insane.
So yeah, so Jack Nicholson is the Joker and he's in The Shining. There's Private Joker, and then there's Stanley Kubrick's The Killing, which any comic fan knows there was a comic book called The Killing Joke, which features the Joker with a camera. The cover of the comic book is the Joker with a camera saying, like, smile, and it's the killing joke. Now, in Full Metal Jacket, the Private Joker is a cameraman. It's called The Killing Joke. The Killing is also another Stanley Kubrick movie.
Oh, yeah, he was a
right.
journalist.
Where,
no, he was the journalist.
Where the dude puts on a clown mask. The dude in The Killing, when he's robbing the horse track, he puts on a clown mask. So he's the killing Joker. Then you have Private Joker with the camera, who's also a killer. And then in the in the Killing Joke, the comic book, in the Killing Joke, that's where the Joker shoots Batgirl, the redheaded Batgirl, and paralyzes her. And as Jason pointed out, the main victim that everyone's been talking about in this Aurora shooting is a redheaded woman. So
really?
Yeah, so Batgirl was a redhead. So you bring it back to...
See, you said journalist. I thought Peter Parker. Also, this Kripal guy, the Dr. Kripal guy, that he said, you know, he said Superman is an analogy for all of us. Like, we can't be in this total state of presence. You know, that's what Superman is. He's totally present. He's always there when the disaster is most needed. But he always has to go back down to Clark Kent. We all have to become Clark Kent sometimes and return to the Daily Planet. You get the pun? You get it? Feel
I love that. That's really good.
All right. So the journalist whole theme, Spider-Man, right? And his redhead MJ. Or 23. Do you get what I'm saying? Like, fucking Spider-Man's all over this shit. I love Spider-Man. And now this new movie comes out, and even Gwen Stacy is Emma Stone, who's known as a redhead. She's not a real redhead, but she looks good as a redhead, so she's had all these roles where she's had to dye her hair red. But even Gwen Stacy ends up being MJ. Do you get my meaning?
Hell yeah, yeah, yeah.
Now, that's what this whole redhead thing, I'm trying to encapsulate it, so I can't remember where it started, but redhead equals Babylon equals Kali, and she is dancing all over mainstream media, I think, right now.
So, Will, you know, you and I have talked about the this Spider-Woman.
She's also the girl on fire. Check that out, because the girl who plays in Hunger Games, the girl on fire, who's a archer or a bowman, you get what I mean?
Exactly, yeah.
Yeah. She's Mystique in X-Men, and which is this blue redhead, this blue-bodied redhead, vibrant redhead. So she's the same as the Brave figure with the bow and arrow. And the Hunger Games girl, the girl on fire, is this on fire like Babylon in the depths of hell. Excuse me.
So, Will, I had an amazing sync for you. Was I went out to Idaho and we go to this cabin. And after you and I have been talking about the Spider-Woman, all this shit. And I'm telling them about it, you know, how the archer is the Spider-Woman. And I'm explaining all this. So our first night in the cabin, everyone's going to sleep, and I go to sleep, and I'm about to turn the light out, and I see this black spider come out of the closet, and I'm like checking it out. I'm like, oh, that's pretty interesting looking. My wife walks up behind me, and she goes,
Shut up. I think
that's a black widow. And I go, I go downstairs, and I say to Doug, hey, are there black widows in Idaho? And he's like, well, yes. So then Steve Wilner starts yelling at me, you don't tell us there's black widows when we're trying to go to sleep. You know, no one's going to be able to go to sleep now that you said that. But, and then, you know, everyone's like, no, you didn't, don't worry, you didn't see it. They wouldn't be in the house. You know, and everyone's like, no, don't worry. Like, and then, so I'm like, all right, so don't worry. Okay, cool. And then people are like, now we can't sleep. I'm like, why are you saying you can't sleep if there's nothing to worry about? The spider was by where I'm sleeping, and you're all like, don't worry, but then you're freaked out. So I'm like, you're sending me very mixed signals here.
Dream catcher.
I had this realization, though, that I said, you know, I feel like the Spider Woman's been talking to me. I don't think she would hurt me.
It's Scarlet's Web. It's Scarlet's Web. Keep going.
Oh, that's so funny you said that, because that's what David Plaid said. Yeah, it was like, we were talking about this Scarlett Johansson as the Black Widow was Scarlet's Web.
Scarlet Web. I didn't put Scarlett fucking Johansson together. Oh my God, that makes complete sense.
Yeah,
I hadn't
Scarlet's
put that
Web.
Together. That's fucking badass. And she's a redhead because she's a Romanoff. She's from the Anastasia bloodline. That's
oh,
why
really?
she,
She's
back in the storybook. That's why she's a redhead, because she's from the Anastasia. And Anastasia's always around that fucking Christ character. That's why the guy who does the voice of Anastasia in the DreamWorks movie is John Cusack, or JC. I think it's Meg Ryan or some stupid shit.
He's K-Pax, the Bring It Back to Your Grays, your Christian Grey.
Well, see, here's the color green, too, because the Oz, all the Oz shit is popping like a motherfucker for me right now. But, like, Osborne, Oscorp, the Franco as Oz, I mean, all of that shit's nuts to me.
Yeah. Tim Osman, Lee Harvey Oswald.
Oswald. Oh, nice.
Right? Osama bin Laden's code name was Tim Osman. Tim Osman.
See, a B, isn't there some language where a B and a V are the same thing? No, never mind. I'm ranting.
Oh, no. There are, like, in Romance languages where you would pronounce it, right?
It's just, yeah.
Like, you know, how do you say 20 in Spanish? It's like...
Vagina?
It's 20, but isn't it, it's spelled with a V or something?
Okay.
Am I remembering that correctly?
Absolutely. I think that's it.
I failed high school Spanish more than once, so... right, so, but it's spelled with a V.
Yeah.
So right. There's your BV. What's with BV?
Nothing, I was just thinking out loud.
You're just fucking with me.
No, but... Binte tres. I don't know. It's just Osama bin Laden. The whole Oz. Oz. Everything has to do with Oz. And now we get this movie about Oz coming up.
So Bill just dropped into the chat here just the number 77. So we all know Oz is 77. That's, you know, the value of the letters. Crowley did. Weber Oz is Weber 77. We all know this. So here's my deal. I've pointed out, and I might have mentioned this on last or the show 2 weeks ago. If I did, I apologize. I'm just going to repeat myself real quick. I've been looking over all the JFK research, and I haven't found anyone else who points this out. It's theoretically Lee Harvey Oswald that shoots JFK, right? Theoretically, at least. Oswald. And James Shelby Downer makes the point that it's Oswald is the man from Oz, and he gets killed by Jack Ruby, like Ruby Slippers. So you use Ruby Slippers to get out of Oz, or you use Jack Ruby to take out Oswald. Blah, blah, blah. So it's actually a very cool thing that he figured out. But what no one that I've seen has realized is that JFK is coming down Elm Street, and he gets shot, quote-unquote, by Oswald. And then they turn onto what's called the Stemmons Freeway. Do you know what Stemmons Freeway is? It's Highway 77. So the motherfucker gets shot by Oz 77 and then turns onto 77 Oz. So he's literally like positioned between the two Oz's. Now, I was thinking about this all day, and then as I was walking home with my wife today, I realized I live on 77th Street in Elmhurst. So Elm 77 isn't just a JFK thing. I'm on fucking I'm on 77 in Elm. So, well, I don't know.
What?
I don't... Yeah.
You're between Oz and Elm.
It's pretty crazy.
Like I just realized my landlord's last name is Nolan the other day. Never.
What?
With all this Batman talk, you know.
That's crazy. But Nolan is also Oz because of the O and the Z at the beginning. Oh. See, you can flip the N into a Z. So
wait,
it's your Oz.
Your landlord's name is No Land?
Well,
he's the landlord with no land?
Okay,
not just
so.
Just living in an alley, really.
Okay. So Harry Osborn is played by James Franco, right? And James Franco is the Green Goblin's son, correct? And the Green Goblin, of course, is William Dafoe, who played Christ in The Last Temptations, right?
Mm-hmm.
But he's also Oz now. He's the motherfucking Wizard of Oz.
Right, he was Osborn, and now he's the Wizard of Oz. It's pretty crazy.
It is pretty nuts. Now, what's weird is that the lizard... Okay, the Oscorp Tower and the new Spider-Man is straight up the new World Trade Center. It is the new building. It's the building that's being... symbolically, it's the same building. Spider-Man started off in, 1998 or something. It was a decade ago. I think it came out in 2001. Remember, because they had to pull the trailer. And it has all of this visual with the fucking Twin Towers. And then the Twin Towers falls. Now, in 2012, when the new Spider-Man comes out, we're introduced to this new pinnacle in the New York skyline. And it's the Oscorp building. It's the fucking Oz building that was in The Wiz. Made by, the guy who did the other Batman fucking movies. He did the other fucking Batman. Schumacher, right? The Wiz has the building's Oz, and now we have this Oz Corp that's this building. It's the fucking Twin Towers, man. Jake Kotza predicted this shit, right?
Yeah, wait. So you're telling me, I know what you're talking about. The first Twin Towers in The Wiz, that's Oz, is the World Trade Center. It says OZ on the cobosphere in the center of the World Trade Center. I know what you're talking about. Now you're telling me in the new Spider-Man... The new World Trade Center is Oscorp.
There's a new building called Oscorp. I don't think it's a real skyscraper in New York, but it's made to look like, how they did Tony Stark's building in the other movie for the Avengers. It's the same concept. They basically made this enormous skyscraper in the middle of New York But Spider-Man is NYC. He's always been New York. He will always be New York. You can't create a metropolis for Spider-Man. He's New York, right?
Right.
So he starts off with the Twin Towers being embedded in his shit, and he ends up in 2012 with this Oscorp. This is a skyscraper out of fucking nowhere, right? It's Oscorp. It's got the word Oz on it. It has these octagons all over it. The skin of the fucking thing is an octagon. So it's that smushed building of the 2012 New World Trade Center. That's what they're calling it, is the One World Trade Center. It's the new fucking One World. It's the fucking New World Order Trade Center. And it's represented as Oscorp in the fucking new Spider-Man.
Right. Now
the lizard climbs this bitch, so it's the lizard, right? It's fucking Rampage, the video game.
Yes, right? That's what I was just thinking. Because King Kong climbs the original Twin Towers in the 1970s. In the 1970s, King Kong. So you have King Kong climbing it, and then you have the Wizard climbing it. Is King Kong and
you just said the Wizard. It's not the Wizard. It's the Lizard. It's the Lizard of Oz.
The Lizard of Oz.
It's the Lizard of Oz because Franco is the Lizard. You remember he cut his fucking arm off. In 127 hours.
That's right. Oh my God, you are right. You are right. Now check this out. You just brought up that was James Franco in 127 hours. Holy shit. Because what I pointed out, I took that movie poster and I said, what are the famous buildings that fell on 9/11? Tower 1, Tower 2 are the Twin Towers, and everyone goes, and don't forget about WTC 7. So 127 hours. And buildings 1, 2,
boom! 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 Bullseye! Fia! Good archery, my man. That was awesome.
You set him up, I knock him down.
Oh, that's even more fucked up. Jesus. Now we've stepped over into this field where we can't stop punning. No, it's true. It's 127 hours. So it's 127. It's the 127 building. And Franco, remember in now switch over to the Planet of the Apes, Rise of the Planet of the Apes, Rise of the Mall Rats, right?
Oh yeah, the Dark Knight Rises on the Planet of the Apes.
I need another beer. Fuck me. This is the best talk ever, Klaus.
I'm still reeling from the 127, man.
Holy shit, it's all fucking there. It's all fucking there. Because in Planet of the Apes, Franco, he puts out the virus. He puts out the virus, right? He doesn't do it intentionally.
In what movie?
In fucking Rise of the Planet of the Apes.
I never saw it.
Rise of the Planet of the Apes has to do with the fucking virus. This virus is passed on. Okay, I'm breaking it down for you. Spoiler alert, but it's of the utmost importance, okay? They capture a monkey. They put this drug to cure Alzheimer's in the monkey.
Alzheimer's.
The monkey goes crazy because she's protected.
Alzheimer's. Wait, I'm just going to stop you there. Alzheimer's. Wasn't there something with this shooting where the guy's claiming amnesia?
Huh.
Right? Alzheimer's is basically like you know, you're forgetting who you are. You're forgetting your past.
Fire is the absence of – see, I've been thinking about this because fire destroys all memory. Mm. Do you know what I'm saying?
Fire
is memory. Fire destroys all memory. That's the difference between the two, symbolically at least.
Your mem is water, right? So memory is water, and fire turns it to steam. So it goes back into the collective unconscious. Right, you destroy memory, but you can't actually destroy it. You just transform it back into steam, into mist, and it goes back into the collective.
Darkwing Duck with his fog gun and his smoke gun. But that's what he did. He threw a fucking smoke canister into the theater, didn't he?
That's what I'm saying. Yeah.
He Darkwing Ducked the. James Earl Holmes.
Someone shooting. Everyone Darkwing Duck.
That's awful.
I'm sorry.
I need a beer.
I don't know.
Massive. It's not even 10 yet. Jesus, I need another beer. Hold on.
So, Bill, you seemed reluctant when you asked me before to give you the 8th grade lesson, why is Batman fascist? Do you see at least the potential there for such a...
You know, I think it's just because people leap so far with his decision in that moment. I think that, you know, his method is fascist, but I think of it as a trump card. That there is a card for every situation. So what is the fascist card in the tarot deck? You know what I mean? It doesn't mean that that is the card to represent or to encompass the whole process, but there is a card that is fascist.
There's a time and a place for fascism.
Well, no, it's like...
I do understand what you're saying.
You know. And
like
it's
the archetypally, it's the idea of it's justice or something, you know, where it's like, hey, it's a bit harsh, but
all it is as above, so below. If you're a parent and you think your kid is into some dark, twisted shit, and you put a tracer on him, let's say in his shoe or in his cell phone or whatever, but you feel the need to do that because adolescence is fucked up and maybe you need someone looking over your shoulder. Well, you know what? Crowd psychology has never gotten past the age of a 15-year-old. It's never shown that it can be as organized and as responsible as an individual adult. It always seems to recede into adolescence.
But I don't think there's ever a politician that's proven that they can behave like a steward of the people and not a fucking, you know, abuser of the people. This is my concern, is that, you know, like I mentioned the whole x-ray scanners at the airport. So we think we're trying to stop the, we're trying to stop the terrorists, right? But ultimately, it was even found out these x-ray machines were put in the congressmen and senators who voted on that we needed these machines to save the people. They all had shares of the stock of the company making the machines. So if you make it mandatory that every airport needs to buy this machine, it's like, you have to buy my product. That's a conflict of interest, and I don't believe that you're actually out for my safety. I think you're out for your pocket. And then this time, I saw something I've never seen before, which is standing in line. This woman walks up to me and goes, "Excuse me, can I wipe your hands?" And I'm like, "What did you say?" So like they just, because I have darker skin and a beard, I'm always the one randomly chosen. But she wipes my hands to check for, I guess, bomb residue or some shit.
What the fuck?
Exactly. And
see,
I go to Michael, who was like a few people in front of me in line. I go, "You see, Michael, I'm always random." And he's like, no, she did it to me too. And then I realized, wait a second. This is probably, you know how expensive it must be to have a wipe and a machine? Like, so you have some machine, like, wipe that probably has some chemical on it that can track bomb residue or a certain kind of chemicals on my hands. And then you have a machine that can test the swab. Like, how expensive this must be? And they're just using these wipes like they're fucking tissues, like they're Kleenex. I'm thinking, that's probably an expensive product. And probably you get a no-bid contract, hey, we'll supply wipes to the airport and it'll come out of Homeland Security money. Ultimately, what I'm saying is, it's a fucking scam. It's a fucking scam. And I really don't feel any safer that someone's wiping hands.
Snake oil.
Yeah, it's total, right? You fucking rattle the cage, get everyone excited. Oh my God, that guy might have a bomb in his shoe. And then, hey, give me a few billion dollars. Well, it's emotion, but it translates to real money.
Real money. Show me real money. Right?
The Joker burns the money. There's no real money. The Joker burns the money.
I was listening to a podcast the other day, and the guy said that e pluribus unum means one for many, and the word monopoly is mono, one, poly, many, one for many. So all of our money basically says monopoly.
That's really awesome.
And it's fucking green, too. Like, this is the cool thing about Oz. I'll tell you right now. The Wizard of Oz, written by, what was his name? Frank Baum, I think?
Frank Baum.
Baum.
Yeah, we were making that joke all week. The bomb. He's
the bomb. He dropped
Frank,
the bomb.
You're the bomb.
My wife used to teach in eighth grade, I think. She used to teach in eighth grade that was symbolic that, the green, the Emerald City is currency.
All right, it's the paper money.
Right. And this had to do with, okay, because she's in Kansas. She's in the Midwest. At that time, Midwest was trying to say that we had more money than the East banks because we had a lot of silver, right? I mean, there's silver thorn up here and all kinds of shit. But this is a big silver area because it's right in the – there's a lot of gold here too. That's why it's Colorado's Red Sea with the gold in the middle on the flag. If you guys want to know, that's the gold in the middle of the Red Sea. Do you get what I'm saying?
I like that
anyway,
a lot. Yeah,
you part the Red Sea to find
right,
the gold?
Right. And the color red is why it's red. Because it's Colorado. It means color red. Anyways, where was I?
Oh, yeah, Frank L. Baum writes this.
Okay, because it was in Kansas, of course, because it's they wanted to – okay, so it had to do with the Midwest wanting to go to like a silver-gold standard, right? Anyways, you have the fucking – the yellow brick road is gold. In the book, Dorothy's shoes are silver, so it's silver and gold. And then they go to this place where everybody sees green – but it's not really there. You know what I'm saying? There's no backing for the currency. And there's a lot of things in the book that are symbolic of, like, what the witch sends against them is like wolves and bees and shit like that. It's all the plagues that would have plagued the turn of the century Midwest. You get what I'm saying? But that's what they say the symbolic reason that he wrote the book was. So Oz all has to do with money, but you get Osborne and you get all of this green symbolism as far as like, Osiris and Osiris. Do you get what I'm saying? It's
absolutely.
It's Oz. Yeah. It's the land of the dead. But the land of the dead, see, and I'm reading this book by Korzymski. I guess you could fucking shuffle that shit up to make Oz too. But
Korzymski basically says that's our main problem with finance, is that we don't understand the definition of what money actually is, which is the dead man's toll. It's just the fucking calculation of all of the progress that's happened up until that point. Mind-blowing, so, I know.
Yeah,
but
it's funny. I was this is probably really obvious. Jason looked at me like, you didn't realize that, but you
hold
know,
on for me for just a second. I got to make a call. I'll be right back.
Yeah. You know, in Eyes Wide Shut, when what's his name? He's Dr. Bill. It's the doctor's bill. It's the price you pay is the doctor bill.
Yeah.
Right? So it's like, oh, I never realized that. But this is basically, you know, this is when you were talking before about the doctor convincing the man to let, you know, to let him see his wife naked so that he can examine her properly. And then you get the doctor bill. I don't know if that's exactly. I feel like we lost something there.
We stepped on the yellow brick road.
Okay, so that's the cool thing about The Shining too, because it's The Shining is the state of Colorado too, right? The Shining. Oh, Private Joker in the state of Colorado. Bingo. Bam. That's fucked up.
Yeah. So that's.
But that movie is supposedly about the fucking gold standard too, because there's the gold room. He says your money's no good here. Shit like that. He's in Oz.
Well, Jack is the money when he's in the gold room, right?
And that's what's so
funny. He doesn't need to transfer money. He is money.
He's
tradable.
Somebody
fake.
Says in the picture at the very end, July 4th, which is the establishment of America, I guess, could be considered Oz because Dorothy's in the middle of Oz or Kansas. Oh. But it's the United States. It's the fucking. You remember how it's about the United States? How it's built on the Indian burial ground?
Yeah.
Right?
No, you're right on. You're absolutely right on.
But it's the 4th of July. That's the last party at the end of the thing. And they say it's Woodrow Wilson or something like that handing Jack a 20.
I don't know about that shit. You know, I mean,
you've heard that theory, though, right?
I have.
You got to
respect
the theory. The theory means it exists. It doesn't matter.
No, I'm saying it's brilliant what people can extrapolate from Kubrick's films, and that's part of the genius, you know? You see, what you see in it doesn't necessarily have to be in the movie, because if what you extract from it is valuable, then you have produced something from nothing. So it is a magical object, because people are able to withdraw, and it's kind of like a bank in a way. You're able to withdraw valuable things from nothing, and maybe that's what cash money is all about. It's a mirage. It's an agreement to accept something as real that is not real. It's basically reality. All of reality we're taught from our Eastern religions is an illusion, but we agree, we make contracts with each other to bring it into existence. So, you know, it's What are the Freemasonic tracing boards, you know? It's something to meditate upon, to rattle your brain, to get your brain actually working, actually to think instead of a television, which teaches your brain not to think. Yeah, it's something like that.
You made this grandioso statement, and then you're like, yeah, you know, maybe.
Maybe.
or maybe somebody said, you know, screw it, I got a scam going here. You know, you said the idea of like the show me the real money. It's funny, there was a Tracy Twyman does a talk about, there was an alchemist who actually, one of the guys who came up with the term dollar and all this sort of stuff, and he was into alchemy, and then he realized, oh wait, coin minting silver, that's real alchemy. And, you know, it was a sort of realization of how, hey, someone's going to accept this as valuable. I guess that I got value. Like, I can trade this for goods and services, you know? Like, that's that's good works for me. You know, obviously, you know, in one respect, this is a he loses the spiritual game. But I think plenty of people are losing the spiritual game saying, hey, you know, it's like, well, you could go for spiritual wealth, or that's not real wealth. There's something so much greater. And that guy's going,
Tiny Tim.
And the guy's
Excuse
going,
me, sir.
Fuck you, I got a yacht. That's pretty real to me.
I'm on a boat.
Oh, the life of Pi. Somebody was watching that in the break room today. Have you guys seen that shit?
The fish and the tiger?
The fish. The fish and the tiger. They're making that into a movie, but it all looks extravagant.
That's that dude, right? Who's that director? Ang Lee, right? Isn't it Ang Lee?
Is that Ang Lee? He did the Incredible Hulk, didn't he? Is that really Ang Lee?
That guy's all over the map.
He did. He did a lot more than Incredible Hulk, but
what's the ice storm? You ever see that one?
He did Crouching Tiger. Oh, Crouching Tiger, Hidden Dragon. It's the tiger and the fish.
Oh shit! Crouching Tiger, Hidden Dragon.
It's the sequel.
Yeah.
The Life of Pi.
That's fucked up. You guys are crazy. That's crazy talk. See, man, Sync gives me more than anything else, man. This shit, you can come up with all kinds of fucking theories on who's doing it and why, but when you can, like, link Rampage and Keanu Reeves.
Oh, my God, you just said Rampage. My mind was back on Rampage. Awesome. What I was going to say is you're like, you could link this to anybody. And I'm thinking, well, we already put the finger on the monkey and the wizard, but where's the wolf? No one's mentioned him, so he's probably the real culprit.
That's a character, isn't it?
Yeah, well, see, they're calling this Gunner a lone wolf, the Joker, and, of course, Private Joker is in the wolf with Sharon Stone. Is that right? Or is it Michelle? No, if it was Michelle Pfeiffer. Is it Michelle Pfeiffer in the wolf?
Michelle Pfeiffer.
It's the Fife.
That's even more fucked up because she's Catwoman.
And, motherfucker, in Lady Hawk, she's in love with a man who gets turned into a wolf. And then she's in Wolf with Jack Nicholson who turns into a wolf. That's what I'm saying.
Right.
Michelle Pfeiffer in Lady Hawk, the whole story is that the man she loves, I don't remember that guy's name.
Is that Matthew Broderick? Isn't he in that woman?
He is.
He's in the show, right? And Ethan Hawke's in it too?
In Lady Hawk?
No, I'm asking. No. Lady Hawk has that dude with weird eyes who's like...
Yeah, it's... Matthew Broderick, Michelle Pfeiffer, and I don't know, not like some like heavy European name like Lundgrensson or something. Not Dolph Lundgren. I don't know. Some really like whatever.
International Movie Database.
Lady Hawk. Lady Hawk and Ethan Hawk.
Rutger Hauer. Yeah.
Rutger Hauer. That's his name. Yeah. Rutger Hauer.
Yeah. Rutger Hauer. Yes, I've heard that name before. That motherfucker stays busy. Shit.
So yeah. I just thought that that was the thing for me is I watched Lady Hawk and then I realized, wait a second, she's in love with a wolf, and then here she is in Wolf. And then she's Catwoman.
Right, and the lone wolf Joker or wolf Jack Nicholson, Private Joker. What about Matthew Modine? What has he ever done?
Just rocked your fucking world, that's all. Nothing much.
Wasn't he in that movie Birdie? About like a Vietnam veteran or something?
Yeah.
I don't know if I ever saw it, but, you know, the name rings a bell.
He's in The Dark Knight
Rises.
Oh,
and he did a movie with Madonna.
Are you fucking
he?
Kidding me? No, he's in The Dark Knight Rises. Does that make any sense to you guys?
Wait, what?
Yeah.
Are you fucking kidding me?
He's Foley in The Dark Knight Rises. Are you fucking kidding me? Private Joker's in fucking Dark Knight Rises. That's insane. That's insane.
Who does he play?
That's insane. He plays a student. That's fucking insane.
Who does he play? What's his name?
I don't know. It just says Foley. That's fucking insane.
He's a cop. He's a cop. He's like a high-ranking cop who decides that he still wants to kill the Batman. I don't want to give any spoilers if you haven't seen the film yet, but... he popped up and I just kind of lost my shit in the theater.
No, Joker wants to kill in Dark Knight Rising.
Yeah, and you're saying he wants to kill Batman. You're saying he's
There's a chase going on where they could get Bane, but Foley's like, fuck that, I want the Batman.
Right, he's the Joker who wants to get Batman.
He's the Joker who wants to get Batman.
Yeah,
buts about it.
Private Joker
that's
wants
fucked
to get
up.
Batman.
He's in a movie called Funky Monkey. That's pretty interesting. Hitler, Rise of Evil. What? You've got to be fucking kidding me. This is bullshit. Wait. You remember he's in Pacific Kites. Because he's in Pacific Kites opposite of Michael Keaton, who is the other Batman. So you have Pacific Kites direct hit with Batman again. That's fucked up. That's fucked up.
What's the movie he's in with Madonna?
Ooh, good question.
I think it's a wrestling movie or some shit. And Madonna's like the trashy whore who lives in the neighborhood who moves in. Or maybe it was Rosanna Arquette. No, I think he does a movie with Rosanna Arquette.
No. That's the same movie. That's the Pacific Kites.
It is. It can't be.
Do IMDb for Madonna. I'm sure she's not in
his name
movie.
Is Drake. No, he's with Melanie Griffith, who's Anastasia again. That's interesting.
Is that who did the voice for Anastasia?
Meg Ryan. Wait, is that no? That's Melanie Griffith. I don't fucking know anymore. Jesus.
Yeah, some blonde chick from something.